it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you this before we go to the phones. How much better than the Saints do you think the 49ers are?
I would say a touchdown better, all okay. things flat level considered equally.
Okay. And how many points per game is Brock Purdy worth to you?
He's probably worth, I would say, 3 to 5 points.
I mean, Vegas is trumpeting what you're saying. I guess my point is like, it's funny to me that the Niners, you're like, oh, they're a 7-point favorite against New Orleans. And you're like, yeah, but they don't have George Kittle. All right, but they'll still beat them. Probably don't have Juwan Jennings. They'll still beat them. Okay, they don't have Brock Purdy. Well, they'll still be. Could we ever get to a point where you think the Saints would win this game?
Yeah, you're getting closer.
Like, if the Saints are a bunch of people that you think would be backups on the 49ers, why are the 49ers now not the Saints? Because a bunch of backups are playing.
Because you still have an elite running back. You've got one of the best left tackles ever. And your defense, I haven't heard a lot of names on the defense that you're going to be missing.
No, although... They are one game in, and a lot of those young guys were like, okay, there's some good moments, some bad moments. Cooper Kupp dropped a pass, and Sam Darnold fumbled a football, and blah, blah, blah. Like, all I'm saying is, do y'all think the Saints are an NFL team?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're in the league.
Yeah.
So, if you want my power rankings of the 32, I don't need to give you all 32. I'd put the Saints probably at 29. 30?
That's totally fair. I guess my point is here's how I'd answer the question we're asking. What are your expectations now that Brock Purdy's unlikely to play? My answer, I have none. I have none. I do not expect them to win this game on Sunday. Now, I wouldn't say I'm expecting them to lose either.
Right.
But I think that this is completely getting naked and starting over. Go back into your closet and start your outfit from the beginning.
I disagree. You've got a backup that you're paying a lot of money to, and you
money
at least to, have socks and underwear on.
Yeah, but money doesn't. What does money do?
Forget the money. He's making his 50th start. This is not a guy who is inexperienced or a rookie. You're not turning to a guy who hasn't been there and done it. He's started playoff games, for crying out loud.
Right, but there's a reason that those last two teams moved on from him, too. Like, he started 50 games. It doesn't mean he played well in them.
Well, he didn't play always terribly in what he got moved off of from Jacksonville. And, you know, he was always going to be their backup. So Jacksonville was never fancying him as a starter. In New England, he got 3 years, and he was pretty good the first year. And then, oh boy, not good, and then really not good. So, yeah, that's why he's a backup.
Last two seasons, he has started 18 games in the National Football League.
Yeah, 18.
Teams won 4 of them.
Yeah.
4. 4-14. That's his record over the last 2 years in the National Football League. But, you know, I'm not telling you they can't win. I understand. Yep, good defense. Salah, Christian McCaffrey. Here we go. You know, yay team. Like,
Would you say that this Niner team is better than New England 2 years ago and Jacksonville last year?
Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now.
I would say absolutely right now.
I don't even know how we could say that. We've watched them for one game. I don't look like last year doesn't matter.
I'm not looking at just the one game.
I'm looking at last week and I'm like, you won, but don't ask me to walk around and be like, yeah, that was impressive. Like, no, it wasn't.
You don't have to peacock it,
but
you're one of 16 teams that could go undefeated.
No doubt, and they deserve credit for that. I'm not ripping them either. I'm just like, I think the 49er peacocking and the word expectation really comes from history. It does not come from anything that's really based in reality or based off of what happened last week.
Yeah, I disagree. The reality on which it's based is the laminated play sheet and the guy who holds it, Kyle Shanahan, and Robert Saleh, who has been recently a head coach, and he's a great defensive coordinator. So that, for me, is where my faith mostly lies. Am I expecting Jake Tonjes to have a Kittle game and go 9 catches for a 130 and a TD? Of course not. But it's up to Kyle, and I have faith in Kyle that he can scheme up something using the players that he has. Maybe Garendo gets a chance to run the ball. Maybe it is Jordan Watkins. I don't know. This is where Shanahan, I know he doesn't call himself a genius, but this is where he really earns his keep when you have to get creative without an all-pro tight end and your $53 million quarterback.
It's a very fair answer. However, I would just say that in sports, we've watched this tons and tons of times over and over. And in fact, I think, was it you who during the crossover said, what is Shanahan's career record with the 49ers when Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo are not starting at quarterback?
9-32.
Okay, so great.
Winning percentage of .220.
His play calling was in those games too. And Robert Saleh was in a lot of those games too.
It's true.
If you do not have good players, you do not win in pro sports.
It is a nuanced thing. And, you know, you look at the beginning of that stat and they went 1-10 the first year, and then they went 3-10 the second year. So it's kind of loaded, backloaded to when the team was actually really, really bad. And then the other ones a couple of years ago where you sat almost all your starters and you lost with Darnold. Darnold was 0-1. That counts. And Trey Lance was 2-2. And beyond that, Dobbs, same thing. You started him just because it was the end of the year. Brandon Allen got thrown to the Wolves in Green Bay, I believe, last year.
And that game was over in
so
2 minutes.
There is context to this number, I think, that lends itself to the positive.
Like last year's a great example. And I know a lot of the Niners were hurt. And eventually it wasn't a good team. It wasn't a good team even when Brock Purdy started for it. But they put their backup quarterback in last year. They couldn't even function. The game was over in 2 minutes.
Right. You're talking about the Green Bay game.
2 minutes. Over. Like, you could see it. The game started, and you're like, oh, never mind. I mean, it's been all week. Like, well, maybe. But no, never mind. Never mind. Absolutely and completely overwhelmed right away. So, look, the Saints, I do not think are a good football team. And so I'm not predicting that that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, I have no flipping idea what to expect. And Mac Jones in the last two seasons has started 18 games and his team has only won 4 of them. No, he didn't have the surrounding cast in those games that this is, but this isn't really all that wonderful of a surrounding cast right now either. He's got a wonderful running back, but receiving core banged up, tight end, brand new. Like
highest paid edge rusher, Hall of Fame tackle,
I'm talking
and
about
a Hall of Fame linebacker.
I'm talking about on offense.
I'm talking about the totality of the reason why they beat Seattle. Put the special teams aside because that should be a part of complimentary football, but they beat Seattle because the offense kept the ball, the defense was fresh, and the defense got the hell off the field. So can you do that to New Orleans even if you don't have Kittle and Brock? I think absolutely you can.
888-957-9570. Let's start with Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call, guys. Drop off maybe a little bit because, timing. Brock is really good at throwing the guys open, so that might be an issue there. But moving forward, man, this Brock, every time he takes a big hit, something in him breaks. It's like the polystyrene, man. Hey, they better address the offensive line issue next year. Draft offensive line all over the draft, and they're going to have to replicate Troy Aikman's 1990s offensive line with Kevin Gogan and Stepanowski and Nate Newton because, man, Brock can take a hit. He takes a hit, he's not going to be able to fulfill this contract because he just breaks all the time, man. I think it's not even an argument that he's injury-prone.
Jonathan, stop right there. You're one of our favorites. You're going to need to say that again with your chest. The man in his first year made it all the way to the end until you had a UCL injury in the NFC title game. The following year, they went to the Super Bowl. Did he miss any games that year? You miss any?
Just the one where they sat him.
Okay, the one they sat him. And then last year, he only missed 2 football games, and one of them, if it had mattered, we were told he would have played. You're going to tag the guy? Injury? Do you know how, like, if Brock were sitting here next to you, he would be very offended by that? I do not. You said it's no argument. I disagree. It's absolutely an argument. I don't think that's a fair label at all.
Well, We only had him 4 years. He got injured 3 times, Mark.
He's missed 4 games in 4 years. That's not, I mean.
Yeah, but because of injuries. And
right.
Taking a big hit.
I mean.
Quarterbacks are going to take a big hit all the time,
Jonathan,
Mark.
Jonathan, so you're saying, like, what about all the hits he took? How many games has he started in his career? About 40-something, 50?
37.
How many, like, what about all the hits in all those games that he did take and he did play?
Okay, but I'm just saying, man, they better build that offensive line. Because I don't want him taking hits, Mark.
Well, nobody does. Yeah. I get that.
And
Jonathan,
this one,
this hit,
I'm just watching it right now. It's right before the 2-minute warning in the second quarter. And the offensive line wasn't the reason why he got hurt. He scrambles, and Love comes over. Julian Love comes over and kind of half tackle, half pushes him out of bounds. And Brock's foot just went bam into the grass. And he gets up. He's not even limping. So I don't know if the thing got worse over the course of the game. I didn't see a limp, or overnight it got worse. I don't know if this is going to be one that's going to keep him out a long time.
No, I'll say this again, though, too. Another day goes by, and I am more impressed by the game-winning touchdown throw again, because now he did it with turf toe. Like,
you want to call it turf toe?
Well,
if you want to call it turf toe, we can.
If you want me to, I will. Do you want me to?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I got to figure out how to handle this. Help me handle this.
I do, but...
Help me figure out how to handle it when fans of the team, any football teams, not just the 49ers, when we do this thing about, like, guys are not, either they're not tough, they can't take a hit, they always get hurt. And then football players will literally come on every show in America and go, injury rate, 100%. We all get hurt every single year. Very few of us play all the games. And then we tuck that into our analysis and start labeling people. I really do not.
Have to be a homer?
No, this is not a homer take. You know, like, you want to call Brock Purdy injury prone, Grandy? Do you like that label?
No, I'm just poking fun.
Okay, we're good. I do not prefer that. That's not fair.
But just depends
it's
on
not fair.
If you want to talk about prone, for me, you would have to look at a pattern of seasons where games are missed due to other sorts of injuries, variety of injuries, and, you know, it would have to be something you really looked at and charted. Aaron Rodgers missed an entire season when he tore his Achilles. Does that mean he's injury prone because he missed 16 games? Or is that just a one-off where you look at his overall durability? Josh Allen's one I was looking at earlier, and the guy just doesn't miss a game, really.
He's crazy.
And he's a guy who is running between the tackles and getting all kinds of hits, and he's just built different. So I wouldn't look at Brock Purdy, who has been available for about 94% of the games since he became the starter.
My favorite.
That to me is not,
no.
You don't get the prone label.
It's like, for me, this has been my favorite quarterback to compare Brock Purdy to over the last couple of years. And when I say compare, I want to be careful because this quarterback is way better than Brock. I would take this quarterback over Brock. It's not even close. But the criticisms that you hear people fire at Brock Purdy, this player I'm about to say, all of the criticisms apply to him even more. Even more. His name is Joe Burrow. Is he injury prone? He'd been knocked out for a season twice, and he's only played in the league for 5 years. Out for the season twice. And then last year, when he put up unbelievable stats all over the place, they still didn't win games. Even though quarterbacks, I'm told, are supposed to put their entire team on their back, and when things aren't going well around them, it is on them to grab the team, stick them in their back pocket, and carry them to the finish line. And he, too, didn't make the playoffs last year. That's my favorite example whenever people start coming down Brock Purdy's road.
Yeah, and that's where it's such a flawed phrase, injury prone. So Brock Purdy gets hit and he tears his UCL, which was, it was a big hit direct on the elbow, and that happened. It was a little bit fluky, and I don't think that it was reflective of him being fragile or brittle. That was just the way that went. You mentioned Burrow with two different season enders. Well, they both happened fairly deep in the year, so he only missed 6 or 7 games in those seasons because he got hurt late. So Brock Purdy gets hurt in week 1, and so now we're going to tag him with injury prone. We don't even know
how
long he's going to be out.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, going there. Let's go to Max Zach in Oakland. Hey, Max Zach, what you doing?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Max Great. Zach.
Okay. Well, anyway, I played some college football, and I've had turf toe before. And what I know about turf toe is they'll give you a cortisone shot right before the game. So I think if you listen to Kyle's recent press conferences, he's getting a little terse, a little salty. You know, we've watched him grow from just inexperienced coach into a curmudgeon. And he's just turning into, you know, a regular football coach. So it's a bit of gamesmanship. You know, just like when McCaffrey, he was in limbo as far as was he going to play or not. He's doing the same thing with Purdy.
So you think Purdy's playing this weekend, Max Zach?
If it is turf toe, if we do call it turf toe, I believe so. You know, when I went into a game, I played for a little background, Laney College and Cal State Hayward when we had a football team. But right before the game, I was on crutches. I couldn't walk. And they gave me this cortisone shot, and he told me it's going to feel like you got a rock in your shoe. I couldn't push off. I played wide receiver. So it was, you know, an explosive position, a skill position. And, you know, it was just like zero push off on my right foot. And once they gave me that cortisone shot, yeah, I didn't have that pain anymore, and I could run.
Was this in high school, Max Zach?
No, this was Laney College against DVC.
In college, okay. I'm like, man, they firing shots in you for Laney?
No, for high school, like, you mean. Laney, for sure.
Where, really? For sure?
Junior college?
This isn't Alabama. We're firing dudes up. Okay.
I mean, okay. I get cortisone every 3 months. It's well, not like it's yeah, that that's, out not, of the ordinary, you know?
No.
I mean,
no,
we're not talking about Toradol for a high school kid. That's a whole nother level.
I understand. Max Zach, thank you.
Max Zach.
I do not believe Brock Purdy's going to play this weekend. You can think that it's gamesmanship. I get it. Was there some gamesmanship last week with Christian? You could say that, but here would be my response. Kyle, there wasn't gamesmanship last week in the form of, like, I think Christian's probably not going to play. And then he did. Like, he tried to evade.
He didn't say that.
Questionable concern.
Right.
Questionable concern and all of these things. This is not evasive. This is telling you what's going on.
Any further sense about whether Brock will be able to play on Sunday?
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
That's possible.
And that's the toe, more so than the shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all definitive to me. Like,
long shot.
It's a long shot. Like, gamesmanship would be like, what's his status for this weekend? Questionable.
Yeah. Questionable concern. Questionable. I'm not going to say anything about Christian, guys.
Are you concerned? Right. Well, it's questionable if I'm concerned.
Right. I think this is a byproduct of him being forced to talk and the league forcing teams to make these designations. Yeah. And so on that day, when he said he had questionable concern, he's got to list him as questionable. And when that happens, the reporters are going to ask. And so now he has to answer. He comes out now, turf toe, and he says it's a long shot. And when he has to get designated, which I think is Friday, right?
Well, Friday is when the official, yes, the right. The report comes out.
So he won't practice today. He probably won't practice tomorrow. And you get to Friday, and if he doesn't practice, then he'll be listed as out. So until then, he can be as murky, or he can obfuscate, as David Lombardi told us, which is, you know, being cloudy or being confusing. He can do that now because he doesn't have to designate.
Right, right. But I think this is more out of, like, coaches are going to be very careful about being totally black and white with injuries in both directions, because it's not fair to the player. You do not want to make it sound like there's a really good chance he could play if it's unlikely that the player could play because that puts the player in a bad position and makes the player look weak. Now, the opposite would be the player is in good standing to play, but I'm going to make you think he's not playing, and the league super-duper frowns on that. So you have to be as evasive as possible, but also try to be straight with people. And to me, that's what's happening here. Like, I could be wrong. We certainly were last week. I could misread that. And we did last week with Christian. But my read in this moment, Brock's out on Sunday. Like 100% Brock is out on Sunday.
I wouldn't put it at 100, but I'd put it at probably 90, whatever.
Like, he just is not, he's going to be appropriately evasive. He's not going to write it in ink, because if he is, that weakens their flexibility with whatever, because the human body does heal differently for different people.
It does, and the fact that he says it's a long shot tells me that it's not as severe as it possibly could be. Just looking at the return to play timeline for a grade one, which would be the lesser of the possible injuries, 3 to 5 days is normal to return. So yeah, if it's a long shot, then it might be more like 5 to 7, 5 to 9, whatever it is. And you go into it thinking, all right, if it's a long shot, we're just going to save him for the next week, get Mac ready for this game, and then we'll figure out the home opener when we get there.
Or it could be grade two, which is why he's already admitting it's possibly a multi-week injury.
Could be.
Because a grade two moves much more into, several weeks.
Right.
Several weeks.
And they're not like cut and dry, black and white,
no.
Grade one, grade two. It could be a grade 1.5 or whatever.
I did do AI on this. You want to know what AI says about it? Let's see. Turf.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
So, well, yeah. So they separated it into let's see, how many different grades? It was like three or four different grades. Turf toe prognosis. Turf toe prognosis from AI, grade 1, 2, or 3, as you said. Grade 1, just a few days. Grade 2 is actually a partial tear, could be a few weeks. Grade 3, you know what that is. It's dislocation sensation.
Oh, geez.
And that means a cast for several weeks.
Right.
And sometimes surgery.
Right.
Dudes miss the year sometimes if it's halfway through the year and they get there.
I was looking at that, and it's like a 220-day average return if you have surgery. So, and basically turf toe is when you hyperextend your big toe, so when you hit your foot and the toe kind of goes back and under your foot, it's painful.
Yeah.
And it's, and the thing that makes me feel positive about it is he gets up no limp and finishes the game.
He played.
Right.
He played on it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.